Welcome to the Enlighten Up podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enlighten Up podcast. So good to be back here with you again. I am excited to introduce you to a wonderful woman who's just all giggles with me before we started hitting the record button here. But her name is Shelley Marie, and she is a world-renowned forensic medium who has had a significant impact in the field of criminal investigations, both nationally and internationally. She's worked collaboratively with the FBI and various law enforcement agencies around the globe. She's contributed to the resolution of numerous notorious world events, missing person cases, and both fresh and cold criminal investigations. Sheila is an experienced practitioner in the field of intuitive arts, offering a range of workshops and retreats. And with over two decades of teaching experience, she has cultivated her expertise. Her dedicated business studio and meditation center further enhance the quality of her offerings. And this is so exciting. I'm excited to have you on the show, Sheila, because I've never really gone too deep into this. And I know I've got a couple people in my audience who do your work. They will work with law enforcement to use their mediumship skills. So,
Great.
This is big stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah.
I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you.
We're going to have a lot of fun today.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so I got to say, you know, before we get into your story, you know, notorious world events. I'm here. I just got to ask you straight out of the gate. Like, what's one of the notorious world events that you kind of contributed to?
I have all kinds of events that I've contributed to, but so I'm a forensic medium. So what that means is that I collect data and information. Like, so what I do is I draw maps and faces. I work in research. I have many different like families that call me, agencies that call me, agents, this and that, and they'll ask me for information, you know. And basically what I'll do is I'll just say, you know, I don't tell me anything. I don't want to know anything, you know. And actually, that's not the question. The question is what events. I don't really say the events that I'm doing because I don't like to be seen, is what I'm saying. So like people come to me as a contractor, and for safety, I don't speak about my cases or anything I do, only because I want to protect my family and myself, and I want to stay true, you know? But I've helped big cases, a lot of, I don't know, what do you want to say? Missing persons, homicides, you name it, I've done it, okay? So I can tell you, I don't know, what do you want to know?
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, first of all, I completely understand. Yeah. And
actually, I did find the Babe Ruth piano. That's something fun to talk about. You know Babe Ruth, the piano, the baseball player?
Yeah.
So this is how I felt. This, you want to hear the story? This is how I felt into forensics.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
Okay.
So a long time ago, I'm a skeptic. I was a non-believer in mediumship or anything like that. Never even went to a psychic ever in my life because I was a true Catholic and I thought that I would go to hell if I did anything like that, you know? So basically, I got to go to class on a gift certificate that my sister-in-law sent me. So yada, yada, yada. A couple of years later, I really got into it. And I said, oh, my God, I have to do this. If I don't teach people how to connect, shame on me. And I told my husband, I said, listen, I have to do this. He's like, what do you have to do? And I said, I have to do mediumship. He goes, what the hell is that? And I said, you know, like psychics. Oh my God. I said, it's okay. You can divorce me now. I understand. But if I don't teach people how to connect, I'm going to die. Like, it was that strong. It was like a calling
for
me. Yeah. And so needless to say, I'm divorced now. But it's okay. I followed my calling, and that's my passion, is to teach people. So I never really wanted to do readings. I just wanted to teach people how to connect, you know, and that's what the book is about too. And so anyways, one time I got a call from this historical society in Massachusetts, up in Sudbury, Massachusetts. And they said to me, can you come out every Sunday and stand in a field and tell us what you see? Now, this is where all the Revolutionary War happened, this and that. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that sounds like fun. So I went out there every Sunday, and I went in like, I went back like 400 years, and I was reciting poems and all this kind of stuff, working with the Smithsonian Institute, all that kind of fun stuff. And so they were establishing trust within me. And I knew one of the guys had been searching for Babe Ruth's piano, who was the famous Red Sox Yankee player. And yes. And I didn't think anything of it, but I knew that the environmental police had been searching for his piano in a lake for 30 years, but with zero visibility, they couldn't find it. So anyways, needless to say, one day they take me out, and there's this body of water, and all of a sudden I get flashes, like visions. I saw a flash of the green monster, and now the green monster is a big, tall board, a wall, I would say, in Fenway Park in Boston. So I said, oh my God, this is that baseball thing. I want nothing to do with this. Now you have to understand, everyone in my, now I was a police officer. My whole family was politics, everything. So I lived a double life. Nobody knew that I was a medium on the side. Like on Sundays, I would drive an hour away to do readings, and then I'd come back and then live my political life. So I'm like, no
one in your family knew.
Well, yeah, not really. Well, my immediate family knew like a little bit, like my brother and my husband, but nobody else. And and my husband was a cop too. So it was like just voodoo. You just don't say this stuff, right? So I said to Kevin, the guy's name, I said, no, I don't want to do this. I said, I can't do this. He's like, just give me 10 minutes. I said, okay, no problem. So I went in my head. Spirit showed me nautical marks. And I said, okay, we're done. That's it. Well, they tricked me. They had a permit for the pond, and they had state divers. They went out the next day to search for my nautical marks, and they found the veneers in 10 minutes. The piano, yeah. So Spirit World said, you're coming out today. And this article, and there was newscasts everywhere. All over the world, this news went all the way to Japan, India. You'd think that would be a proud moment. I wanted to crawl under a rock.
I
wanted to die.
You were revealed.
Yeah. The universe said, it's time, you're coming out. So the next thing happened is I got a knock on my door in my studio. Agents started coming to me. Can you help us with this? Can you show us this? So that's how forensics started for me. It's not something I searched for. It actually found me, you know, and I forget where I was going with this, but, yeah, so from there, I started doing cases and stuff. And I don't do a lot of cold cases, but I do a lot of live cases where, like, someone will come in and they'll say, okay, they'll give me, like, I'll tell them to tell me nothing. Just give me a name. And usually it's just a name. And then I'll say, okay. And Spirit will just show me, and I'll just start writing things down and drawing and stuff like that. It's kind of cool. And sometimes, like, it'll last from, like, 1 hour to 6 weeks. So like I'll go home and I'll get dreams. It's just crazy. Yeah. And I know it's my life purpose, because I'm getting dreams and I'm not asking for those. You know, my husband, who at the time, you know, was not open, every now and again he'll hear me screaming. He'll wake me up. He'll say, you're having one of those dreams again. And I'm like, oh no. So I'm writing everything down, you know. And so it's just crazy. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how forensics happened.
Babe Ruth's piano.
Yeah, so that happened. Yeah.
My goodness. So, yeah. Okay, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Is there any times where you're getting information where it really scares you to offer it?
Oh, sure. All the time. Yeah. Like if I'm working on murder case, most of the time most of the time, the cases I work on that are around the United States and the world too are people who have been murdered, you know, and a lot of times the agent or the family will come to me because they're looking for more information about a case. You know what I mean? So then what I'll do is I'll go in and I'll get that information, and Spirit may show me, most nine times out of 10, they show me exactly what happened. But I don't deliver that information so much, but I'll just tell them what they need to know. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, so for instance, like, let's see, which case could I talk about? Oh yeah. So one time I was in a state, I should say. And we got out of the car and I could just smell death, you know? And you know, it's something that you can taste and smell and sense, you know? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this, you know?
What does death really taste like to you? Like when you, if you could describe it.
Pure evil. Pure evil. And pure fear. You know that, you know, like when you're in a dream and you're having a nightmare and you can't get out of that dream, like,
and
it's terrifying. That's that feeling, but it's in real time, but it's okay. I feel sometimes a lot what's happening is spirits warning me, or they're showing me that evil's involved, and usually that's like a crime, a bad crime, you know? And so like in this instance, I got out and I could just smell the death, you know, but I didn't know what had happened. I know nothing about anything when I go, and which is a good thing. Thank God, because I don't think I'd go. Do you know what I mean? And so like in this instant, this person had been abducted and murdered and was not too far from where we were. And so I just like walked right into it, you know, and so that happened. But I forget what I was telling you about, but I don't have to be there to taste that horror. I can be in my own studio getting the information as well, you know? And it's
so as soon as you're tapped in, you can feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I do my forensics, it's not a read. It's a reading, but it's not to me. It's a little different than that. Like there's some cases I'll get where I'll say, okay, I'll go in, Spirit, just show me what I need to know. Boom, 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 get information. But what I do is it's more of a process. So let's say, for instance, I'm working on a cold case. Actually, I'll give you an example. This is real time. I mean, this has really happened, okay? And it was, I can't name any names or anything, but I can tell you the process, okay?
Okay.
So this boy, little boy, it's a cold case, okay? And a family member came in to me. And I used to be a police officer as well. So I'm an investigator too. So what I do is I incorporate my policing with my mediumship. It kind of intertwines. So I'll have the people come in, and not only I'll just say, just tell me the person's first name. And then what I do is I take the person that's in there, their information and everything, their license. I want to make sure, because everybody's suspect and I have no idea what I'm getting myself involved in, you know? So I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to not do any work. I'm going to give myself 2 weeks to see if I get any dreams from this. I have to completely just live my life. I said, in 2 weeks, come in here, and then I'll tell you if I received anything or if I need to do any work in front of you. Okay, sure, fine. That's great. Okay, so yada, yada, yada. 2 weeks passes by. Well, what happens during that 2 weeks? I get a dream every night from this little boy, and it was what I was just telling you about with my husband waking me up when I was screaming and stuff.
Oh,
yeah. So I always use this for an example because to me it was just incredible. I got all the information I needed for a crime that happened 40 years ago in dreams. I didn't even have to ask. So it was amazing. And I could hear, I could see. It was like, and when I get a dream, it's like for instance, I could see the top of the little boy's head, and then bam, it's like football lights turn on like in a stadium, and then I'm seeing it, I'm like walking. It's just crazy, but it's really cool, you know? So anyways, that happens, and I'd have no control over that. That's something that Spirit is using me as a channel, you know? So anyways, this woman also.
Do you know, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Do you know when you're in the dream, do you know it's a dream and that you're getting the information, or are you unaware until you wake up?
Sometimes I'll tell you in the beginning, I had no idea, but now I'm more aware of it. And sometimes I'll understand. I want to say I know what they're giving me, but I'm not controlling it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I am aware of it sometimes now, not all the times. Mm-hmm. But what will happen to me is I'll wake up and I'll say, because I always evaluate my dreams every, and I've always done this since I was little, which is kind of weird. Like, I'll wake up and say, oh, what was my dream last night? And I'll remember it, you know what I mean? And so when I always evaluate my dreams now, I'll know, like, oh, God, I just had a dream. Or, oh, wow, oh, you know what? That might be a dream. And sometimes I get dreams before the people come in. I get it precognitive, too. And what I'll do is if I feel it's something that's coming to me, a case, I'll just write it all down. And actually, that happened several times. This family came in to me, and they're looking for their son's murder. I said, hold on a second. I'll go in my file cabinet. I said, I'm not sure if this is you, but I'm going to tell you this. I read them everything. And they're just sitting there crying. And I'm like, oh, you understand. Yeah. Okay. Here you go. This is for you. Yeah. So it can come in different ways, you know.
That's very efficient business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, like, so anyways, this case, right, the 2 weeks, she comes in. And I did get some dreams, because I'm not knowing it's all the information, you know. I'm not sure if it means anything, but I did write them down. But I'm going to sit in front of you for 2 hours, and I'm going to ask spirit information. So I'm writing everything down, nothing to do with the dreams. I'm writing everything down for about a good 2 hours, writing in front of the left. And so then I start reading her everything on the papers, and she's crying. So I know she's understanding everything. And then I tell her about the dream. And, well, you know, we had everything we needed for the case. Just in those 3 weeks, you know, and yeah, two and a half, 3 weeks. And they gave me a lineup of the people. And they said, we think the missing persons unit that we were working with, they said, we think it's this person. I said, oh, no. It's this person, 300%. And they're like, why? I said, because I saw him in my dream. And I know this is him. They didn't believe me. Sure enough, they got a confession from, because this guy was in jail. They got a confession from him, from the case 40 years later. And he's serving time now. Yeah.
No yeah. way. So he's so, already in jail.
Yeah.
Serving time for something else.
Yeah. And you know how they bring into jail because other things arise? Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Crazy. Crazy stuff. Like, I'm like, wow. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Even to me, and I think that's why I do it, because I'm like, you understand what I'm saying? You understand this information? This crazy, you know. I have to stop saying the word crazy. One of my students said, "You can't say crazy all the time." I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, I can't help it. She's like, you need to find more words. I'm like, to me, it's just unbelievable.
I use the word interesting.
Oh,
it's so interesting. I know, because yeah, you got to be careful of what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's so wild. So they all that time thought it was another person,
yeah.
But had brought by chance this other person into the lineup, and
yeah,
ooh, that
Lo
was
and
not
behold.
That guy's lucky day.
And they and yeah, and they knew they were convinced. Yeah, I'm like no. I'm like 300%. I know it's him, because they showed me when I was in the dream, the little boy. My God, it was exact. They showed me everything. This man coming to him, and he was abducted, and I'm like, and I can remember, and I wasn't scared at all, you know, because he knew him. Yeah, it was just crazy. Yeah, it was just in, you know, unbelievable.
Gosh, it was someone he knew.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, an acquaintance, not a family member
yes.
or anything.
No, yeah no, but you like, you know, oh
yes,
that's
you just
so
never know.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's
so
hard, though.
This is so interesting. So how hard is it for you to take care of yourself after you kind of get some of these more disturbing and possibly even gruesome details? Like, I don't know to what level
yeah.
of information you're getting, but
right.
Like, how do you, because, you know, you're doing work on a very, you're tapping into a very dark
mm-hmm.
energy field.
Right.
Whereas a lot of people that are maybe doing their intuitive work are tapping into other people's, you know, mm-hmm. traumas or
well,
like, you know,
right.
hurt and stuff. It's not at the mm-hmm. same level always. Sometimes yes, but mm-hmm. how do you kind of clear your field or take care
yeah.
of yourself so you keep doing it?
So what I do is my guides protect me. You know what I mean? And they only show me what I need to know for the case. I don't, when I'm working on a case, I try, I become the police officer. I try not to be emotionally involved. You know, I don't tap into the emotions of the case at all. I stay focused on just the logistics, you know, and the data and the information. I don't.
That's a strong skill as an intuitive.
Yeah. And I, so what I do is I separate it, you know, but I have to, I use the inner light system to get the information, but I don't attach my personal emotion to it, you know, and it's not easy. But I'll tell you what I do, because when I'm doing it, it's exciting for me, because like I draw maps and faces and stuff, but like I'll draw, some of my maps will be words. I'll just have pages of words that I have to circle and go back to. And then I match this with that. I do like an investigation with it too. And then I drop it down, you know, and it's like a process. And so at the end, I make a full report and everything for the people, you know, and or the agents or whoever it is. So to me, I stay focused on the work, the work, the work. And like one time, it's really interesting that you said that it was a missing persons case, and it wasn't too far from my studio, which was very odd, because usually the cases I work with are far distance from where I work, you know. And the family called me and they said, thank you for your service. I'm in a reading with a woman, and she goes, thank you for your services. We just found him. You were right. And it's only like 5 feet from where he was. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad that you found him. And I just sat there, and the lady says to me, how do you do it? And I'm like, I'm really happy for the family. I'm happy that I can bring some type of resolution to them. My goal is to help the family. You know what I mean? And sometimes the spirits will come to me too. You know what I mean? 100% of the time, my guides are in charge, because I don't look for the cases. My guides bring me the cases I'm supposed to work on. They're in charge. But sometimes in that, I'll see the spirit that's maybe deceased as well. You know what I mean? Not all the time, but I do. And, you know, so at the end, I am happy that I did my good work. But then maybe like a few days later, I'm like, oh my God, this is real. And it hits me. You know what I mean? Cause it's all over the news. I'm thinking, okay. And I just cry and I just let it out. But I'm so grateful and humble to spirit that I'm able to help, that it mm-hmm. oversees that, you know. Yeah. And I don't attach it to me. And I understand like the negativity, this and that. That's why I don't prefer to go to the event itself, because you feel all the evil in the case, because everybody's suspect. You, and 9 times out of 10, the person or persons that have done some type of crime are usually in the area protecting it. Something's happening. You know what I mean? So, and everything is
really,
yeah. Oh yeah. Everything is footprints and vibrations. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's just like an arsonist, you know, an arsonist causes a fire. They might be sitting there watching the fire, you know? So you have to be very cautious and for me, protect myself as well. Yeah. Yeah. There's different aspects to it, and I'm okay. Like I mentor a lot of students that do the forensic mediumship, and I tell them, you know, your guides are the ones who are in charge. They're going to help you to do what you need to. It's not about me. I'm as humble as I can be. I don't want to involve my ego in this. If I'm able to help someone, that's fantastic. That's my mission, is to help the family or whoever needs the information. And staying focused is really key. But as far as negative energies and that, it doesn't attach to me, because my guides are protecting me. You know, and I have to have 400% in my guides that they're protecting me, you know, and in order to receive all this information and dreams, I've already given it up to my universe. I've already given it up to the divine, my guides. They're the ones who are in charge, and I'm just their channel. You know what I mean? Yeah. But they're protecting me, and really ultimate comes down to faith. You know, and to, you know, really what it comes down to.
It's such a huge part of this journey.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of have an interesting question to ask you.
Surely.
But it's coming up because, well, I'm curious, and sure. I think my audience will like get something out of this too. But, you know, one of the things that's been coming up for me is to lean into trusting. The reason why I'm saying this is because I really appreciate how practical you are and how intuitive you are. It's very much how I operate.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to embody both the very mundane, practical, more scientific aspects of this of this existence while also marrying in all of the beautiful, mystical, unknown realms of the unseen.
Right.
And one of the things that's been coming up for me in my journey, which I haven't really talked about with anyone, is exclusive here on my podcast to all my audience members, is I'm a hard worker. I hustle. Mm-hmm. I've always been like, if it means I have to like work weeks without weekends off, like I'll do it, and just anything to like help with my business. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I'm really picking up now, in especially in the last 6 months to a year, is the importance of not feeling like I need to control everything and to give it up to my guides and the universe to kind of orchestrate all of the things that need to come into place of what I'm envisioning. How do you surrender that kind of control in balancing, okay, there's certain things you do have to do, but then mm-hmm. also knowing, like, how do you trust so deeply to really give it up to that mm-hmm. guidance to come in and start orchestrating, whether it's, you know, for business, if it's a client or sales or whatever it is, you know, that you're looking for, mm-hmm. like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So to me, this goes a lot with what you're saying, and also even just connecting to mediumship as well. You know, you have to have, you have to let go of the fear. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes fear comes in different ways. You know, it's not just being frightened. It's a fear of, am I not going to get it done? Oh, I need to finish this. If I don't do this, this is going to happen. You know what I mean? So letting go of the fear is really important. And how do you do that? You have trust. And how do you have trust? You have to have trust in your higher power, your God, your Jesus, your Allah, your universe, your whoever you pray to, or whoever that is inside or outside that you pray to. You have to give them the reins. And how do you let go of that is your faith. You have to let go. You have to let go and let God, in a sense, you know. You have to understand that the universe and the people. I always tell everybody this. We have our spirit guides. And when I talk about spirit, I mean many people who have passed, many angels, whoever that is, that's guardian angels, whoever that is, that's your higher power, has been directing you all your life. And they've steered you in the right way. Even if you've gone astray and come back, that's okay. They have your best interest. So why not give them the reins, right? And it's hard to let go of that human control. And it's just hard to give someone the reins, you know, but you have to do it in order to let go, you know, in order to let go. But as a business person, I understand what you mean, because I have to be a business person too, as well. You know what I mean? There's deadlines and everything, you know, and that's part of the process. Just like in manifesting, what are you doing when you're manifesting? You're actually working on the vibration and the frequency of the universe. And that universe and frequency is your guides, is the universe. You know, in my book, it's called Forensic Medium, The Power of the Unseen. And the unseen is the vibrations and the frequency of all that is in between, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's important to understand that everything is science, and that we're our whole life is just but one dream. You know what I mean? So there's no reason to fret. You know, you have many lifetimes to get what you need done, you know? And it's really important that you have to give it up to, I don't want to say God, that's not the right word. I would say you have to give it up to the universe, you know? And how do you do that? You have to trust. And remember that your higher
power.
How
do you trust, though, when you're like in the 11th hour, you know? And
oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because I have Jupiter in my 12th house, which
okay.
for anyone who has Jupiter in their 12th house, they usually feel like they have a guardian angel or angels who come in mm-hmm. at the 11th hour and like everything just works out somehow. And that happens to me all the time.
Yeah,
but yet it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking.
I think, do you practice meditation at all?
Oh, all the time. Okay. Yes.
So this meditation should be helping you with that a little bit, because it's teaching you to be conscious, but yet just to be. Mm-hmm. Right? So just to be, like when in order to let go, you have to just be. You have to allow things to flow around you. And when you do that, you'll be the observer and you'll see more. Even in your own life, not even in your inner light system with your mediumship and your connecting, just in regular life as well. Being the observer and not reacting to a situation and will settle you, but you'll see and you'll feel the vibrations around you, and you'll know what you want, you know, to choose. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense.
Hold on. Say that last, immediate last part again. So you'll see the vibrations around, they'll settle. Say that again.
So imagine this. Say you're in a meditative state, mm-hmm. and you're protected in white light, and there's mm-hmm. all kinds of vibrations around you. And normally, if you would just go, and not just sit and be, you wouldn't see those vibrations. You wouldn't mm-hmm. feel those extrasensory vibrations and frequencies that you need to be attuned to and aware of, you know? Yep. So just being will help you to let go and let God, let go and let the universe take control. You're still guided. You know?
Yeah.
Like you're not going to ever lose control. There's different forms of control. You're always going to have choice. You know?
I think that's the hard part too, is that there's mm-hmm. a part of me that, like, my conscious self knows all this stuff, mm-hmm. right? But then the subconscious and the unconscious mind start to creep up into the conversation. And they'll be like, well, okay, but if you let your guides just guide you, are you participating in your life? You know, are you making any of the choices?
Oh, you most certainly are.
And yeah. And it's sometimes hard to like understand that ultimately you get the say of like what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. But getting that guidance can elevate your choices and how you're experiencing
Absolutely.
Things.
And you know how they say you grow in your faith. That's where faith comes mm-hmm. from. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. One time I was in my studio, it's a meditation center, and there had been a missing person that was missing for like 4 or 5 days. And I don't watch TV or anything. And if someone knows anything, I tell them not to tell me, because I don't want to know in case I work on a case. Because if I don't know anything, I'll know more, you know? And so anyways, someone had come to me in my studio and they said, did you hear about the missing boy? I said, please don't tell me. If I'm supposed to work on this, I'm sure they'll find me, right? So I just, thank you, have a wonderful day. So anyways, I go outside and I'm thinking, oh gosh. And I said to Spirit, I said, if I'm supposed to work on this case, was that the person coming to tell me, or should I wait for my contact? Because I know I do have a contact in the state. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to give it to you, Spirit. If I'm supposed to, just let me know. So I'm walking out to the car. And all of a sudden, I'm not kidding you, a hawk flies down at me. There was another guy standing in front of me, like that, past us. I'm like, what the, like swooping down to our heads, and then takes off to the right, which is the direction of where the person is missing. And I said, oh, I'm so doing that case. That was like a sign from Spirit. 10 minutes later, I got home. I'm not kidding you. I get a phone call from the contact that I was just talking about. Hey, Sheila, we're stuck. Can you help us? I'm like, shut up. Okay. It gets even better. You're going to love this. Okay. So I'm like, okay, give me a few minutes. I'm going to see what I can get. I'm going to write something down on a piece of paper and I'll meet you. Okay. So I pick him up, and the staging for the state police and all the FBI were in like a golf course area. So we're like in a Ford Explorer. And I'm driving, talking like, la, la, la. And I try to just be me. I try not to get real serious or anything, because if I do that, I'm thinking. And when you do mediumship, you can't think. You have to be open. You cannot, cannot control it. You have to not think when you're doing mediumship. So I'm like goofing off. I'm talking, singing. I'm not kidding. You cannot make this stuff up. It's like Harry Potter. All of a sudden, a hawk is in front of my hood, directing us into the staging area. He goes, do you see the hawk? I said, oh, you have no idea. I could not believe it.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes. I will never forget that my whole life. And so it was really interesting, because the case that I worked on, I was following birds around the whole time in this case. Yeah, so that happened. So, yeah. So in other words, what I'm saying is if you give it up, if it's meant for you, you'll receive it. You know, if it's not, thank gosh you didn't. You know, how many times have you driven yourself, even as a business person, gone one way and then just hitting walls?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it's because
too many to count. That's
and that's okay. Trial and error is good. You know, there's no such thing as fail. Fail is first attempt in learning.
I learned a lot from all of that.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A first attempt in learning it is. So when you learn and you learn to sit back a little bit more. And maybe you're not supposedly trusting the universe, but you're learning to sit back and be the observer and to be a little bit more cautious and to look for the signs, you know? So that's a different way, signs in like the business world. You know what I mean? So there's different ways of thinking about that, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. Curious, did birds have anything to do with the case? Like, why was it a hawk? Did you get any specific reason as to why the hawk?
I just believe it's a lot of times, and especially this case specifically, spirit will speak through the birds. Spirit will be landmarks. Mm. You know, like when I draw maps and stuff, like I'll never forget it. In every case I worked on, I mean, I've worked on hundreds and readings too, but I always remember everything because everything is an Akashic record. It's a file. It's a memory. It's an imprint, you know? So as we're talking, I'll never forget this. I drew a turkey, like a turkey hand. I drew a turkey and I'm like, oh, that must be a turkey. Well, this is amazing. So we're like on the fourth day. And we go out there and there's all muck everywhere. And I said, I don't know why, but I'm looking at my paper because I'm trying to follow my paper. And I said, hey, I drew a turkey. And the guy goes, look, there's a turkey right there. I'm not kidding you.
No.
We were in the woods. There was no birds, nothing. I'm like, okay, let's go towards the turkey.
Goodness.
So it was precognitive. I got it before it happened. So tell me what that's all about, you know? So everything is dimensional, you know? Do we choose our life? I don't know. Do we? I don't know because I don't ask those questions because sometimes I just don't want to know that. You know, that's for God to know, not for me to know. But I get a lot precognitive too. So that happened.
Wow.
But I remember there was a blue jay and then there was red cows. So I was following the birds in that case. Yeah, it was really cool.
Interesting.
When I do like cases, like it's landmarks. Like I'm looking for landmarks to get down to that pin, that needle in the haystack, you know? Yeah, that's really cool. But as far as connections with the universe, you know, I look at it this way. These bodies that we're in are just astronaut suits. Our souls, our energy within us is who we are. When the bodies don't work, our souls leave the body and we go to that divine energy, you know, that vibration, that frequency where all the souls are, you know? Is it in the clouds? I don't think so. I feel like it's right here. It's like dimensions everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
But I forget where I was going with this. So you just have to remember that we're on a soul journey. We get so encompassed in our social journey and what we're socialized with business and our life. And you have to have this. You have to have the family. You have to have the house. You have to have the three children. You have to this. If you don't, you're not successful. Whoa. First of all, the biggest success there is in life is just love. It is connection with yourself. The best friend you could ever have in your whole world is you. Mm-hmm. It's connection of love. Love is the energy. Love is everything. Yes, we need money to survive. We need this. Do we need everything? No, we need a roof over our head for shelter. We need food on our table and we need good health, right? Those are needs, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and happiness. Is mostly and love connection. So the world will be a brighter place if we just focused on that and not all the greed like the Roman Empire, you know. So being grateful is really important too. Having gratitude is really
important. That's actually something I was going to say earlier. Was that has been one of the things that I've been utilizing recently. I mean, I used to do a lot of gratitude work in my like maybe 10 years ago in my journey. But I'm finding that especially when things are stressful and you've got like, you're worried about certain things, you've got anxiety, mm-hmm. fears, like gratitude is such a great frequency and vibration to just tap into because everything else melts away. It's like, it's an instant buffer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, like it's been really amazing to me. And so, you know, one of the things that I've just recently been grateful for in the morning in my morning meditations is I'm grateful for my body. I'm grateful that I have this life and that I get to experience all this, because if I was just a spirit, I wouldn't get to do all this stuff here on Earth, you know?
That's right. Yep. Every morning when I get out of bed. Yep. I get out of bed and I say, thank you. I'm alive today. Thank you.
Yeah. Right? And I think, you know, I've tried to kind of restructure my frame of thinking sometimes, because when things are very challenging and you've got really hard obstacles in front of you, mm-hmm. or at least it seems that way, you can be like, why is it so hard? Like, I'm so done with this. I'm so tired, you know? But the reality is, we didn't come here to only experience the happiness, the joy, the love, the peace. Mm-hmm. We came here to experience the suffering and the pain and all of that as well. And it doesn't mean we have to get locked into it, but it does serve a purpose to some capacity. And of course, if you only allow yourself, say, I only want to feel this, then you're already in a restricted, limited place of availability. And that means what you're able to receive. So being willing to receive it all, the good and the bad, is important to kind of recalibrate to when it's happening.
The monkey mind is the worst enemy. Your mind is your worst enemy. You know, that's why in the book, I have 5 meditations in there. I have a lot of people that say to me, meditations, I believe, can help you with that monkey mind, to help you say into your soul, to practice being friend with your soul. You know, we don't practice that enough every day, because we live so much in the human world and the human experience, but we're still souls on this journey. You know what I mean? So it's really important to tap into your inner light. I call myself an energy junkie, because when I do my work, and it's not just cases, I do a lot of readings and I teach a lot. And when I do it, I'm energy junkie, because I'm tapping into the universal love, that energy, that vibration, and it feels fabulous, you know? I'm like, and the days that I don't do it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm depressed. I'm being human today. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's a choice. But the monkey mind is really important. Your mindset is everything, because your mindset is a vibration, a frequency. So practicing meditation is really important. I always tell everyone, in the book, I have 5 meditations. A lot of people will say to me, I can't meditate. I think too much. And I said, congratulations. You did the first step in meditation. You're supposed to be thinking. You're supposed to be in conscious. Meditation is being a conscious and being aware. I said, that's fabulous. Keep doing that. You know, I said, eventually the thoughts will go away and they'll dissipate, but it's really important that you are conscious in an inner way. The nadi pranayama, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's nasal breathing. I teach people that say that they can't meditate, that's the best one, because it's actually scientifically proven that it actually drops the anxiety levels in your body. And you can actually take that instead of Klonopin, you know? you can start meditating every day. I've had clients that have gone off Klonopin and Prozac and all that and started doing nadi pranayama and other meditations instead of the anxiety medicine. And it's amazing. Their lives have changed so much, you know? So meditation is really important. I was really blessed when I was 11 years old, and it's in the book. There's a story about it. My dad was a chief of police officer in Boston area, in Massachusetts, and he was learning how to be a self-hypnotist on the side. I don't believe him. I really think he was being a medium, but at the time it wasn't accepted.
So it runs in the family.
Yeah, I think so. So I was 11 years old, and I would go visit him on weekends, and he'd say, okay, Sheila, close your eyes. And what he would do is he'd get me into a meditative state at a very young age. So what happened is I trusted my dad that he wasn't going to put me in harm's way. So many years later, when I went to a class, meet your spirit guide class, the lady, what does she do? She takes us on a meditation. I said, I know how to do this. And mind you, I was a skeptic. I can do this. But when I went in, she took us to a vibration where things started happening that I wasn't subconsciously thinking. I'm like, oh shit, this stuff is real, right? And that's why I'm like, oh my God, I have to do this. Oh my God, everyone can do this. If I can do this, anybody can do this, you know? So that's what started my mission. I don't know why I'm talking like that, but yeah, so meditation is important, you know?
Yeah, so is your dad still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive, and he's retired now. Okay. He's all excited. So he read the book.
Any interesting conversations about this? Anything he's experienced?
Well, it's really funny because my dad was connected. And I remember when I was younger, he was telling me how he regressed to he was 5 years old. And like they were doing regression and writing sentences and stuff like that and coloring and stuff. But to this day, he won't admit it. He's very still closed. Yeah, he chose not to do the hypnosis and continue with being chief of police, which is very political. Okay. So, but I didn't know he supported me until the book came out because he calls like, oh my God. He was all excited because I wrote about that, what had happened, you know, and in the chapter. The thing about it is, I believe everybody's connected, you know, because we're all souls. We're all a connection. Some people, for me, it was a life calling. It was a life mm-hmm. purpose, you know. Some people, it's not. Some people choose to use it in their life with their work. You know what I mean? For me, it's my whole life. But that was my choice as well, too, you know. And I believe everybody. That's why when I learned that I was able to connect and that I just believe that everybody's able to. You know, I've never taught a student that cannot connect. You know, it's just a matter of tapping in. Do you want to do readings? You don't have to do readings. It's not about doing readings. It's about connecting into the universal energy within and around you because that's who you are as a being, you know, and it's your birthright to know this. And we've been so conditioned in society, in our Western culture, that it's voodoo and it's not. You know, I go to India. I was in India for 3 months last year, and everybody there is connecting. You know, the bindi, this symbolizes the third eye right here, you know, and everybody's connecting to the universe and Krishna, all this, you know, universal everything. And I go over there, I'm a goddess. I come over here, I'm a witch, especially from Boston, you know,
because
that's
gosh,
where the witches, what is that?
The
witch, what are they called? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Well, yeah, it's interesting
where they killed
because
all the witches.
the witch hunts and
yes,
and,
all that. I actually worked in Salem last October, and I didn't want to go.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I actually am from Massachusetts, and I never went to Salem because I was scared. It really was.
Well, I mean, considering what you do and what you can tap into, who knows what would have opened up if you did.
But you know, when I went there, it was not the experience I thought. It was actually the opposite. So I was really happy about that. I stayed there for a month. I was at Enchanted. I did some readings for them. And it was a nice experience. But there was witches there that were working right next to me and stuff. And I'm like, sorry, I don't do that. Namaste. I'm coming from India, and they're all dressed up in their witch outfits and stuff. It was really funny. It was cute, though.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? But there is evil and darkness, and you don't want to tap into that. And I certainly don't want to tap into that either, you know?
How do you put up a border for that? Like, just for anyone who's maybe new to this or is going deeper in their own exploration of tapping into the
again,
energies?
Again, my guides are in control. I trust my guides 100%. They're going to protect me everywhere I go. If someone curses me or anything, it doesn't matter because my guides are going to push it back onto them or get rid of it. You know, you have to have complete trust.
That's exactly how I feel. Mm-hmm. So
that's why we're talking together. Like attracts
it's interesting because when I do plant medicine journeys, like I use psilocybin for plant medicine journeys.
Okay.
I've never done that. And when I do them, it's so fun.
I'm scared. I'm scared. Like, I'm afraid if I smoke pot or something, what would I see? I'm like, I can't even have alcohol.
When we get off here, we'll chat a little bit. So one of the things that I do is, I trust and I know that whatever darkness I may see is just a reflection of something within me. Mm-hmm. And I trust that inherently. Like, I really believe that.
Yes, you
that.
Can see your fear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so when I go in, I do, you know, I do my own ceremonies. I have all my intentions. I do saging, clearing, Palo Santo. I do all of that.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But when I go in, I just know and I don't even have to say it. I just know it that no matter what happens, I know I'm safe and I am mm-hmm. protected. And I have seen a dark cloud come into my room while I was in a journey. I was like, ooh, I don't like that energy. What's that? And all of a sudden, a viper spirit animal just comes up and just hisses at it. And the thing just went away.
Ah, there you go. Wow, that's your protection.
And I was like, oh. And, you know, of course, when you're on mushrooms, you're kind of giggling. I was like, well, that was fun. I guess that one wouldn't stay around.
Wow.
But it's like, you know, it's true. I think, obviously, when it comes to frequency, beliefs are your home base. You know, like, mm-hmm. that is your foundation. Because your beliefs create your frequency creates your field, your reality, your perception. And so, believe the conviction, because you can hear it in your conviction, Sheila, when you're saying these things, of how strongly you believe it, that you, it just be, it is, there's no there's no room for any other potentiality or reality. So it's so important for people to really hone in on their beliefs and really get strong in that conviction.
Let me tell you this. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have
no
ADHD.
No, go, please. No, interrupt me. No one wants to hear from me. They want to hear from you.
So it's interesting that you said that, because now I'll tell you a little story. So my parents were divorced when I was very young. So they were all Catholic. So they had to bring us up in an Episcopalian church. And then through the divorce, then my father ended up bringing me to a Lutheran church. You know, we were always going to church. And so then when I got married, I wanted to be like my whole family, be Catholic, so I became Catholic. But during that time, I became spiritualist. I actually used to teach at the spiritualist church as well. And that's where I started my teachings. And I became spiritualist. And then from that, I became Buddhist. And now I'm studying Hinduism. So it's like, so as far as faith, so as far as religions, you know, I think every religion is beautiful in its own sense. Mm-hmm. I don't like the man-made part of religions. I try to stick to the spiritual part of religions, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, because my kids are like, what are you this month, Mom? And I'm like, well, I'm really resonating with Hinduism right now. I'm learning Hindi. I'm going to India all the time. I said, I think I found my tribe, you know? I said, as far as the man-made stuff, I try to keep it real and know that it's man-made, you know? So belief in the universe, absolutely. I believe in teachings from thousands of years ago and stuff. And also, I want to say this. The reason why I do mediumship and all this is because you cannot, for me, I don't believe anything unless I see it. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. You know, and that's with anything in life. So when I started doing mediumship, I saw it in my inner light system. That's what I call it, going in. I believe it. I mean, and I'm like, and I wasn't thinking it. That's really happening. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wow. And people are understanding it. That's that confirmation. That's fabulous. You know what I mean? So not even just the belief, but experiencing the belief is everything. You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think also you have such a strong belief, because I believe that your beliefs create what you see. Yeah. And so even though there is a part of you that is seeing and then believe it.
Right.
I think there are stronger beliefs that you have that may not be so directly connected that are actually allowing you to see and then believe.
Right. And you know what that is? Sense? Yes, I know what you mean. And you know what that is? Is I have to understand my mediumship. The key to that belief is mastering your mediumship. And how do you master your mediumship? You learn not to think, and you learn not to doubt. And when you when you teach it and come to class, that's what class is all about. I teach on Zoom as well, and I do have workshops. But once you master not thinking when you're doing your mediumship and not doubting, you'll be very accurate.
Yeah,
and again, that's just observing and just being the observer, but trusting that you're getting the right information. So that's where the trust comes in. But once it starts happening, people understand it, you begin to trust it more. At least for me, you know.
Well, it's interesting, because I had something this week come up that was like, ooh, wasn't expecting that. Like, I was expecting it, but not as, ooh. And I was like, okay, we need a new solution to fix this. And I've had a lot of anxiety about it this week. And, you know, but I know I have to lean in. I know this is coming up because I'm being, in many ways, these are opportunities, I should say, that are presenting themselves that are forcing me to go deeper into my faith and trust, and to lean into my guidance system and the universe to orchestrate everything for me as I well, as it would best serve me and as it would, it's meant for me. And one of the things I did today in meditation, I was like, okay, let me just do a little gratitude first, just so, because I didn't sleep well. I was up from 1 o'clock in the morning and didn't sleep. Then my alarm went off at 4:45. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to go to the meditation cushion. And, but I still had some of that lingering energy. I'm like, well, I gotta kind of neutralize this. And so I did a little gratitude work, and then I was like, okay, let me put on a song that I really like, and I'm just going to sit there and like start to connect. And I hit it on repeat. So it would just keep playing. And I love it because like there's a little bit of dance in there, and like my body just always wants to move a little. And I noticed that my hands wanted to move. And this is something that came up in a recent journey, where now my hands start to move in all these different like mudras and symbols, and they do start working in my field. And they start shifting things around and reshuffling. And I was thinking about something that I wanted, to come towards me. And all of a sudden my hands just wanted to start moving. And I was like, oh, it's communicating with whatever is out there to start pulling it. And it was doing all these different movements. My hands started doing all these different movements, that were drawing the energy towards me.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And it was like shuffling things out and then pulling things in and like doing all of these signature moves and like all these kinds of things. Wow. And I was just like, oh, this feels different. This feels different than the other movements I've done. And I'm like, I think my hands are orchestrating the energy connections and alignments to start being pulled towards me, because everything was being pulled not towards my heart, but towards my gut.
Oh, interesting.
Towards my sacral chakra, which interestingly is where our abundance codes are held,
right? That's right, yeah.
So that's all the receiving. It's the womb. It's our reception. It's our heart of intuition and everything. So
it was
interesting. And I think this is something that I'm starting to play with a little more, because, you know, we all have different varying levels of things that we go through and stuff. But this one is, I feel like it's really teaching me to start using my guidance and the universe and my skills and my belief in what I know I'm capable of doing in bigger ways than I've ever used them before, but to see how easy it can be. It doesn't have to be so hard.
Right. You have to enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get in our own way, and that's the human being getting in the way.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Getting back into that inner light system. Yeah.
The inner light system. Yeah. Which you go into in great detail in your book.
I do. I go into that great detail, and I love the inner light system. That is it. That's what it's all about. And so
What does the inner light system look like to you? It's your 11th system.
It's your 11th system. So,
what does that mean?
So, so we have, you know, 10 systems in our body. It's our 11th system. Our inner light system is what I call it. So basically, no one ever asked me, what does it look like? To me, it's all the vibrations of your being, all the chakra colors, everything, all your vibrations connecting to the universe. You know, it's almost like a walnut jellyfish. You know, walnut jellyfish. It's a clear
Walmart jellyfish.
No, walnut. Walnut.
Oh, a walnut. Oh my god.
It's like a clear jellyfish, and if you watch the jellyfish, you can see the rainbow colors.
Oh, going. Yes.
Yeah, that it's like that. That's what I feel.
Ooh,
it's like,
okay.
And so I feel that, but this system is connected to multi-dimensionals and the universe, you know? And so basically your inner light system are all your clairsees, like clairvoyant, clairaudient, you know what I mean? So it's all of that, you know, but it's all connecting to everything. And when I teach, I tell everybody, I get a kick out of people will say, now there's nothing against anyone, I'm clairvoyant. And I'm like, are you? I'm clairaudient. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what I try to tell people is, you're all of the clairsees. You're clair everything. Is what happens is sometimes one or two or more of those clairs are more prominent because spirit's working on that with you. So what I try to do in classes, I try to tap you into all your clairs, so you're playing a beautiful piano instead of just one key. You see? So I don't know why I'm telling you this, but yeah, so that's what happens. The clairs are the inner light system, but it's more than that. It's the connection to the universe within. you know, and that universe within is multidimensional, you know what I mean? And it, and it's all the space in between everything, you know?
Yeah. It's one of the things that's been opening up for me, which I've shared recently on a podcast just a couple episodes ago, is that I'm starting to see in the last 6 months or so, is I'm starting to see colored light symbols in the air around me, like with my physical eyes.
With your physical eye, yeah.
And then I see them markings, similar markings on my hands.
Do you know what this is?
My arms.
This is the string theory. This is. Are you familiar with the string theory?
A little bit. I'm a little bit familiar with the string theory.
That's what this is. The string theory. This is all about the string theory. If you go to, if you read my book, it's I tell you all about it. And how that's all vibrations and connections. I'm going to give you an experience. I know what you mean. You know how I figured out it was a string theory? Spirit showed me. Because one time I was doing a gallery, and say there's like 50 people in front of me, and I'm supposed to do, give them readings, so I'm connected, and I'm getting ready to talk, and all of a sudden this is me. And the lady goes, are you okay, Sheila Marie? I'm like, uh-huh. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, uh-huh. So what was happening is with my naked eye, like you, like what happened to you, I saw pastel colors and shapes around everyone's tops of their heads, and it was spinning. And I'm like, because the room was kind of dark. I'm like, what the bleep is happening here? I'm like, and oh my God, I can't tell anybody. They're going to think I'm nuts, right? So I said, okay, uh-huh, yeah, okay. So I get home the next morning. Of course, I'm on the couch drinking water because I had spent, you know, I had a lot of energy taken from me. And I put on the PBS channel, which is like the learning channel on television. And my husband, who is a non-believer, is upstairs sleeping because he's a cop and he had worked the night before. And all of a sudden, PBS talks about, I started seeing those shapes and the colors. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, that's it. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's it. And my husband goes, what the hell is going on? I'm like, that's it. He's like, what's it? I'm like, oh, never mind. Right? And it was a string theory. And I said, okay, so now I need to look into the string theory. Investigate. Yeah. Thank you. The string theory. So what I find is also with spirit, spirit's constantly teaching you in your life. And there's always a theme for every day and every week, you know? So that was my answer to that. And so when you said that, that's the first thing that I thought of. And I said, oh, it's the string theory. It's the energy. It's the quantum physics is what this is happening. And you're actually visualizing it with your eyes.
Well, yeah, you know, it's becoming more, even last night while I was awake in my insomnia.
It could be from the mushrooms.
It wasn't from the mushrooms.
I'm just teasing.
But it was, you know, you wouldn't be far off to guess that, though, is what I'm saying. But I was lying on my pillow and I was just kind of looking at, I had my arms up around my pillow and I'm just kind of looking at my hand and my arm in the darkness. Yeah. You know, I don't know, it was 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden I could see all of these patterns again on my arm
geometric.
In like different colors. And I'm just like, oh, and some of them actually looked like light language symbols. So, and I'm just like looking at it going, oh, well, so I don't even need to be on mushrooms to see this stuff. Like it's really starting to become so like the whatever dimensions are interacting with me, like that I'm accessing in this reality.
Part of you.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more easy for me to see it all. And
absolutely,
so I think just given that, that is telling me I need to start working with that more.
Right, yes. And so you have to remember, every person is a computer and we all have files in us. Those are those Akashic records. That could be another lifetime you're looking at too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
you know what I mean? It's the imprints of you, of your body and everything.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And when it's darker out, just like in that room, I was able to see it more, which is interesting because you said it was 3 or 4 in the morning. So it was a little darker out. So your eyes a little bit more relaxed and you can visualize it more. That's interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've done some meditations before. I don't tell anybody this, but I'll tell you. I'll tell everybody. where I was in New Mexico. Oh, what was that? About maybe a year and a half ago. And I said, I was lying there and I said, I'm going to do a meditation. And I said, okay, what it is? So I closed my eyes and all of a sudden I was, I don't know. You know a water slide? You know a water slide?
I love water slides.
It was black, but I saw the geometrical shape of a water slide like a tube. I was going down a tube. My eyes were just shut. I could see it. I wasn't sleeping. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't in my meditation. I could see just when my eyes got, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I got so excited, I broke out of it. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, I told the person I was staying with, I said, oh, I had a really cool meditation. This happened, you know, I wasn't really meditating. I just closed my eyes and I saw this. And they say, well, we call those wormholes around here. And
oh my God, it's so crazy you're saying this right now. It's so crazy.
It gets even better. Are you ready for this? And wormholes, I'm like, yeah. And she's like, well, you have to understand, I'm in New Mexico and it's all sky. And she goes, have you ever heard of the Large Array? And I'm like, yeah. Well, it's only 20 minutes from here. And those are those big communicators where they're looking for extraterrestrial stars and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah. Well, she goes, apparently the aliens. And I'm thinking, oh, God, here we go. How am I going to tell anybody this? They had an alien sighting in Socorro, which was right 10 minutes from where we were. And that's why they built these there. And I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, so that happened. So I don't know what made me think of that. So I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, I'm like,
well, I started to see a wormhole this morning in my meditation.
Oh, shut up. That's why I'm telling you this.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's so crazy, because I've only ever seen a wormhole once in my ayahuasca journey. And I traveled through that. Like, that was big. But this was actually during my gratitude part of my meditation this morning. And I saw all these like flashing lights coming at me, and I was going through this tunnel, and I was just like, oh my goodness, I am stone cold sober. And I'm like, I'm in a wormhole. What is going on? I was like, wow.
What is
and
that?
And so, I think I'm starting to create what you did, starting to create these psychedelic states that like a lot of people will achieve when they do these psychedelics, but on my own now, like it's starting to just,
it loosens
so,
you up.
It's so crazy you said that today.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely confirmation for you. And I believe it is a wormhole, and I believe it's another way of getting into a new, another dimension.
Well, so after that happened, that's when I started doing the hand thingies.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I believe it's going into another dimension is what it is. And I find it was interesting. I don't know, but you said you're in, can I mention where you are?
Yeah,
Colorado.
Yeah, my audience knows.
Yeah, so there's a lot of sky there. Is there a lot of sky where you are? Are you in the city or are you in the country?
I'm in the city, but...
But there's a lot of sky, though.
There's so much sky.
It's like it's a valley, right?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, and just like New Mexico,
right on the outside of... I'm right on the outside of the north, like the range. So I'm on the, on the
and so there's a lot of sky. So I think that may have something to do with it. I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong, because when I was in New Mexico, it was all sky.
Yeah.
You know, where I am, it's buildings everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Wow. I mean, I just go out, like I live right near a lake, and it's just open, and all I see is the mountains, and it's just, you would never even know that you were in a city. Like there's just, that's what I love about it, is because I couldn't be in a city fully anymore. But it's, I
know,
think,
how you feel.
You know, plus the energies in Colorado are pretty active, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that happens here. So, I don't know.
I think that's really cool, you know, and it's, everything's possible. We're beings. We're aliens on a. I tell everybody, you realize that we live in space. People forget this. They're like, oh, I'm like, yeah, we live in space. Get out of your own little world, dude. There's the sun, there's the moon, and we're on Earth. These are our astronauts, who's without them, we can't live. That's why we use them. Why we're here. You know, it's so true.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Well, Sheila, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you very
much. Okay, so I just want to tell... it's been so fun. We totally set the tone before we hit the record button with all our giggles. So to my audience, you have to go check out her book, Forensic Medium, The Power of the Unseen. I'm going to leave the link for that in the description below. But Sheila Marie, please let my audience know what else you've got going on, because you know you offer courses and classes and all that kind of stuff.
I do readings. I do everything on Zoom because I'm always traveling. So you can go on my website at SheilaMarieMedium.com, and you can always find my updated stuff. I'll be going to Provincetown, Massachusetts, actually, for a gallery and a workshop the end of the summer in August and September, and possibly South Carolina in the next month and a half. I'm not sure about that, but I always keep it updated. I do mentorship as well, and I do online classes on Wednesdays and Thursdays at usually the evening time. And that's what I've got going right now.
Okay.
So in between my readings and all the other stuff, that's what I'm doing. But yeah, if you go to my website, SheilaMarieMedium.com, you'll always find that. And the book site, there's a book site too. It's called ForensicMedium.com. That can take you to Amazon for a Kindle, because there's an ebook and a paperback. But if you want a signed copy, you can go to my website and do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you guys. Yeah, no, yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Yes.
You know, and I hope you guys in the audience enjoyed this as much as we did. This has been a lot of fun. And don't forget, my Forbidden Journey retreat is just 2 weeks away. So if you're still interested in coming and sharing some very healing transformational space in the mountains of Breckenridge, Colorado, I would love
to have you there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Can't wait to
see
you.
I really want to go to Colorado. I was supposed to go there one time, but 9/11 happened, so I couldn't go.
Oh, well, that was a long time ago.
Yes,
you're
it was. And I said, and I never went back. I said, maybe it's time for me to come out that way. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Maybe you need to come. Well, maybe, you just never know.
Let me know.
All right, guys, I love you so much, and I will see you next time.
Bye. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.